Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
Hey, I'm Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Philly, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 29th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. I hope you all had a great Tuesday. The worst day of the week is officially over. You've reached the midway point. We're almost to Friday, kind of. Like, we're closer to Friday than we were on Monday, and definitely closer to Friday than you were yesterday. So the midweek point of the week is here. The coordinators talked yesterday, so we got a lot to get into today. They actually said a lot more than normal. I don't know if it's because it's like a bi-week type press conference or what, but I thought they both had a lot of really interesting things to say. So we're going to dive into everything Vic Fangio and Kevin Petullo had to say. If you haven't yet, speaking of bi-weeks, Brandon Lee Gowtwin came on the Go Birds pod for a bi-week check-in. Always great to hear from BLG. And it was really good discussion, I thought, about a bunch of things. Jalen, the team, the optimism going forward, Nick Sirianni. And yes, of course, we talked AJ Brown because it's impossible not to talk about AJ Brown. So that's in the feed if you haven't heard it yet. And then later today in the feed, we're going to have the Jordan Mailata show, which was on Monday night. But, you know, it's like a little inside the dugout, behind the scene baseball. Like, I've done a bunch of these player shows, and they're good. Like, players have interesting things to say. It's always good to hear a player's perspective. I think this year with Spike and Jordan, it feels like a podcast. Like, I think Jordan really opens up, and you get to know him, and, like, he may, you know, it just doesn't feel like a canned interview. It feels like Jordan, it feels like doing a podcast with someone that plays in the NFL as opposed to just interviewing an Eagles player, if that makes sense. Like, the interesting perspective he gives on things, like, I don't know. I just think it's been really good this year. Obviously, I'm biased, but I would recommend listening to it if you haven't yet. So that'll be in your feed later today. But without further ado, let's get right into it. So on the schedule today, nothing, not the normal Wednesday schedule, because obviously the Eagles are on the bye week. The coaches will be in the building. I imagine some players might hang around, but for the most part, they are off. So no Nick Sirianni press conference, no other player press conferences, none of those other things we are used to seeing. But we do have Go Birds evenings tonight, and thank you to everybody that's called in so far. If you're somebody that wants to try to call in on Saturday, I know the phones can be pretty jammed. Wednesday's a good chance to get in and then, you know, work your way into the Saturday show when the star of the show, James Seltzer, is there. But tonight it'll be me, of course. And then the special guest for tonight, sideline reporter Devin Caney. Excited to have Devin on. Always interested to hear her perspectives from the sideline. She's in the locker room all week like me. So if there's ever anything you wanted to ask Devin, call on in tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., 215-592-9494. It'll be a bi-week check-in on Go Birds evening. So that's what's on the schedule for today. The injury report, there is no injury report because they're not practicing this week. So it's mostly just wondering where Saquon's at, when Nolan Smith will come back, when Brandon Graham will be ready, and those type of things. But for an injury report, no real injury report to discuss today. All right, with some news and no real Eagles news to discuss, but want to update everybody on the book drive. And again, thank you everybody so much that has donated. The feedback so far, and by feedback, I mean the donations, they've just blown me away. Like so many donations, so many generous donations. Shout out to David Spro, who has been super, super generous throughout the years in donating and made a donation this week. So we are well on our way to making a huge, huge impact with Treehouse Books, the nonprofit in North Philadelphia that works to get books into the hands of kids. So if you love reading, if you loved reading as a kid, if you have a kid that you're encouraging to read, I think this is something, a charity that you could be interested in. So the link to the charity donation is in the podcast description today. As always, there's a chance to win a Zach Bond signed football, which is really, really cool. And then we have a custom t-shirt coming out that's going to be super sick by Dewani Soraya. So all the details are in there. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart to everybody that's made donations. It truly, truly blows me away every year. Maybe I shouldn't be blown away because I know how generous you all are. I've gotten to meet a lot of you in person, but it warms my heart to know all the good that we're able to do together. And when I say together, I really mean you guys and the donations you have made. All right, let's get into first what Vic Fangio had to say. He's had a lot to say, and then we'll get into what Kevin Petullo had to say. So first up, Vic Fangio was asked about a position I think many people are hoping they can trade for, and that is the edge position. And understandably why. They were really thin at the position last week. They haven't had anyone really step up and play at a super, super high level this year. But Fangio was asked about the edges on the team, how he views it, and here is what he had to say.
Is your opinion or outlook of the edge rusher core right now different than it was 2 weeks ago, the day that Zadarius retired, with Brandon coming back, with Jalex kind of emerging and Nolan on his way?
Yeah, that, you know, BG's working his way back into football shape, playing shape. You know, hopefully we get Nolan back here soon. So that's two guys that we haven't had since whenever Nolan went out. So, yeah, it's looking to be better. And, you know, we're working Jihad there some. And Jalex has played good all year, I think. obviously, he's had his plays he'd like to have back. But he's a young guy who's progressing. So, I mean, we're in good shape there.
So you can hear in there, he highlights Nolan Smith coming back, Brandon Graham coming in. Definitely very complimentary of Jalex Hunt, which makes sense. I think Jalex has improved as the year has gone on. But, you know, I think to a certain degree, Vic is working with what he has. I don't think, you know, Vic would tell you in a moment of complete truth that he feels he has an amazing group of edges. But I think he makes some fair points, too. Like Nolan Smith is coming back. We'll see what you can get from him. Hard to miss in season for alignment and play. But he's obviously a different body type. It's not a lower body injury. So the hope there is maybe he will be able to do something. And then I do think, like, when he's discussed Brandon Graham, he does sound genuinely optimistic about what Brandon can bring. He was asked how Brandon looked in practice, and he said, you know, better than I expected. And he said he's working towards being a player that he thinks can contribute. So if you want to look at the glass half full position with the edges, it would be Nolan, we know, can be a special player. Brandon Graham, we hope, can be a contributing player. Jalix Hunt, you know, has played, I think, at like a B level all year. And certainly I think that's probably the grade I'd give him for the first half of the season. And then Josh Uche, I think, has been a solid edge. So look, it's definitely a glass half full look. You could certainly flip that around and say they have one of the worst edge groups of any truly contending team. But it does, I think, like, Vic's not crazy to believe that the edges can be good. But of course, a name we didn't discuss there with the edges is Jahad Campbell. Jahad Campbell played a season low 21 snaps this past week. And Vic was asked about having Jahad, N'Kobe, and Zach Bond, how he's going to make that work. And he kind of talked about the low snap count in here. So here is Vic Fangio talking about Jahad Campbell and the lack of snaps and like where he's at in terms of positions.
It's a good problem to have. They say N'Kobe, Jahad was playing well, N'Kobe's back. The word problems in that. How do you look at that position right now?
Yeah, part of what happened last week too was, we were down to three OLBs, and so, you know, we got Jahad. He's been playing OLB and base, but then we wanted to teach him the nickel stuff too, in case we needed him there. So his week last week was choppy from a mental standpoint, in that learning a new position and learning new assignments that he hadn't been exposed to before because of our lack of guys at that position. So that played a part in him not playing as much. But overall, it's a good problem.
So I think like it's pretty clear they're moving Jahad to edge. He said that he's a outside linebacker, which is essentially an edge in base defense. That's because N'Kobe's a linebacker in base defense. Now they're teaching him nickel stuff in terms of playing the edge in nickel. And part of that, as he mentioned, is because there was injuries. They only went into the last game with three guys, and they wanted to have Jahad be available to play that position if needed and in nickel. But I think what's going to happen is N'Kobe's going to keep playing well, and Jahad is going to keep learning the edge position, and they'll have to find a way to get him on the field there. Will N'Kobe play 100% of the snaps at linebacker? It wouldn't shock me if it got to that point. I do think there will be times where Jahad plays stand-up linebacker, but it sounds like they're transitioning him to edge. He is in the edge room during the week last week. He's learning how to play it in multiple packages. Like, that seems like it's where it's going. They like N'Kobe. N'Kobe's playing well. I think N'Kobe's added something to the defense. And it seems like Jahad is going to end up playing quite a bit of outside linebacker. And I'll put it this way. In 10 weeks, do I think it's more likely Jahad's a full-time edge or a full-time linebacker? I think it's more likely he's a full-time edge. And it definitely, to me at least, seems to be trending that way. Now, the other part of the edge discussion is really like a focus on that position as opposed to the larger picture, which is getting to the quarterback. And while the edges don't have a ton of sacks, the defensive linemen do. Moro Jomo, career high in sacks. Jordan Davis, career high in sacks. Jalen Carter playing better, not like the dominant player he was last year, but playing better and impacting the play. So Vic did talk about the interior defensive linemen and the importance they have in getting to the quarterback too. And here's what he had to say.
Your interior linemen have 8 sacks. Three different guys had a sack Sunday. What do you like about that group as far as getting to the quarterback?
Yeah, I think they're overall doing a good job. I think we can be even better. Maybe get some of those pressures and ultimately sacks, which everybody likes. To me, it's just, are you affecting the quarterback or not? You know, quicker in the down. You know, kind of like Jalen did on the Jalix's interception in Minnesota.
So I think there's truth to it. You know, as normal, what Vic says, I think there's truth to it. And he's right. Like, if you're disrupting the pocket up the middle, that is huge. And they are definitely getting good pass rushing snaps from their defensive linemen. The issue is they're not resulting in sacks. And I think part of the reason is because their edges haven't played well. The pocket is being disrupted up the middle, as you can tell by the fact that the defensive linemen are getting sacks, but they're near the bottom of the league in sacks and sack percentage and all those things because their edges aren't getting the job done. Now, like we just talked about, Brandon will be playing. Nolan Smith will come back. Jalix is improving. So like Azeez Ojulari will come back, although I don't really see where he fits in. But regardless, like I get Vic's point. If the defensive linemen up the middle are playing well, that'll help the edges. And I think that's kind of what they need to lean on with this pass rush. We can sit here and say maybe they'll go trade for a big time edge, but that's tough to pull off. And I would be surprised if they actually did it. So maybe they will, but I'd be pretty surprised if they get that done. So it's mostly going to be hoping the defensive line can continue to dominate and hoping the edges can start to make more of those opportunities. Now, the other position that everybody wants them to make a trade on is at corner. And Vic was asked about the corner position, and here's what he had to say.
At corner, how did you feel Keeley played on Sunday? And I guess what's the plan moving forward once you get everybody back?
Yeah, he did play better. Plan moving forward, we got to see what JB looks like here in practice. What Adoree looks like coming off of his injury, and figure it out.
Do you like what you have with everyone healthy?
Yeah, we find a way to get it done.
So yeah, we'll get it done. Not the most encouraging answer when talking about it. And I get that's what he has to say. And I think he doesn't mean it as negative as maybe it comes across. But yeah, when he's talking about the corners and says, we'll get it done, like, doesn't scream confidence. And you look at where they're at, like, I get it. Adoree has been on and off the field. He talked about Keeley in the press conference. He said Keeley needs to start being more confident in what he's seeing, and then the true athleticism can really take over. And I think Keeley actually played well in this past game. Granted, you know, I would say it's the Giants, but the Giants lit Keeley and the Eagles up 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, good game from Keeley, but I think they're just thinner at corner. Like, we just talked about the edges and what they could be. There's a lot of names and bodies there. At corner, there's just not. Like, Quinyon is on the outside. Cooper, who we'll talk about in a second, is on the inside. And then it's Adoree, Keeley, Mac McWilliams, like Ja'Corian Bennett coming back. Maybe he ends up locking down that role. But they just don't have the same, and I don't even like intriguing. The Eagles' options at edges aren't intriguing, but there's a lot of them and they have different types of resumes. Like the corners really don't. Like Adoree does as a veteran, but not like a resume. He's more of like a Josh Uche, where it's like, all right, as your fourth edge, that's fine. As the top corner, like that's no bueno. So I do think trading for a corner feels like a possibility. I know the Titans traded away a corner earlier this week, so the market's starting to be set on what it'll cost to get a corner. But I do think corner is a more likely position to acquire. But then again, it's like, can they get that guy in the defense? Can they get him caught up? Like, they have not done a good job of doing that in the past in terms of making their trade deadline acquisitions work. So corner, definitely a position. Now, you know, Vic was asked a few questions about Cooper. And first, like, he gave an interesting perspective on why he thought Cooper DeJean fell in the draft. And here's what Vic had to say about that.
Cooper DeJean's obviously a pretty unique player in terms of where he plays and how you utilize him. What you saw in the evaluation process versus what you see now, does he remind you of someone now that you've had him in terms of where he plays and how you...
No, he's... you know, we got very lucky that he lasted till the middle of the second round. And I think the reason he did, because he only played corner in college, at least his last year. And I don't think everybody was sure, was he a first-round corner, second-round corner, third-round corner? I don't think the league as a whole had a feel for his versatility, because he didn't play it in college. And, you know, he's really a damn good nickel, probably one of the best nickels in the league. And we're playing him at corner in the base. He could play safety if we needed him to. He's a defensive back, but really he's just a good football player.
I definitely think Cooper's versatility has proven to be very valuable, and you can obviously see there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
With Vic, like, he feels he could put him at multiple positions. Now, the issue is he's just keeping him at nickel. So he's asked later about, you know, playing him at nickel and not moving to the outside. And he said, you know, he would hate to take a really good player to not be as good of a player or impactful at another position. So basically, they don't think Cooper will be as special on the outside, and they think he's one of the best nickels in the NFL. And I understand that. Like, first of all, a ton of receivers go inside to nickel. So Cooper is getting snaps against the number one receivers, a decent amount of snaps against number one receivers on the other team. He'll be a good case study to see, like, what's his contract look like? Because nickels don't get paid as much as outside guys, but the Eagles are treating him as their number two corner in a weird way and really discuss him as a number one type corner. Like, Quinyon is going to get a ton of money. Cooper will too. But if they're going to keep Cooper at nickel, like, come contract time, I wonder how they'll view that to him as opposed to how they say it to him now, which is probably you're a lead at that, you're closer to the ball, you do a lot of things. Like, I think he'll almost just get paid as a defensive star more than a nickel, but it'll be an interesting contract negotiation to see. That's certainly not a problem they have to worry about now. Cooper's still a full year away at the end of next season to even being eligible, but yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to be moving Cooper out of nickel anytime soon on a full-time basis, at least. All right. So on the other side, Kevin Petullo also talked, and I thought he had a bunch of interesting things to say as well. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Kevin Petullo, Spock, Star Trek. Never really watched that show. I was into Star Wars. Star Trek I could never get into, which I guess is a little hypocritical because it seems like they're similar. If you're a Star Wars and Star Trek person out there, let me know. I feel like, to be completely honest, like, Star Trek seems just a little more spacey and nerdy, and Star Wars seems more like mainstream spacey. Nerdy's not the right word. I just think you probably have to be more into space to like Star Trek than you do Star Wars. But regardless, Kevin Petullo spoke on Tuesday and got into a lot of different things. So first, one thing he was asked about, which I thought was a good question, is the lack of runs from Jalen Hurts. And if you look at, we've talked about this a few times on the Daily Pod, but if you look at the games in which Jalen has had the fewest amount of designed quarterback runs that aren't tush pushes, like of the top seven, I think four of them are this year, and the other three are like he left at halftime or was hurt or whatever, right? So just very clearly fewer quarterback runs. So Petullo was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
We didn't see, again, a designed quarterback run. Didn't need it as much, but after eight games, this is kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, is this a conscious thing?
No, I would say it's conscious. I think it just really comes down to, like, do we need it? Do we want to do it? Does it present itself? I think there's different ways you can get around that. We've used different plays in that capacity, too, that have kind of led to explosives in different games where we've gotten the ball on the perimeter. So I think it's not something that's definitely on purpose. It just kind of happened that way. And the way the game unfolded the other day, we really didn't need it, and so we just kind of...
So clearly it's on purpose, like, duh, right? You can see that. They're probably holding them for later in the year, I would think. And obviously there's a risk-reward to that. The risk is the offense has struggled for most of the year, and you're holding on to something that could help them. But the reward of it is now you have it up your sleeve. You haven't used it yet. You've gotten a 6-2. The offense is moving in the right direction. And the positive is, too, you don't expose Jalen to as many hits. So... now that they got through it, like, I think it was probably a good idea. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season they were going to not run Jalen on purpose for the first 8 games, I'd be like, that's a risky move. But it's probably a bunch of different things, too. It's probably the defensive looks they get and all that. But it does seem like they are intentionally not calling those plays, I'd assume, to use them later in the year. So an honest answer, I thought, from Petullo on that, at least my takeaway, was that it's on purpose. Now, the other thing that there's no hiding, because it's a lot of big bodies, is the heavy packages they're running. They've had Fred Johnson out there quite a bit. They're leaving more players in protection than they ever have before. But I think the main change that we've seen over the past few games is getting Fred Johnson out there, having a 6 offensive lineman. We saw that on the Saquon Barkley run. Like, they seem really into it. Talking to Mylotta about it, he seems super excited about it. So Petullo was asked about the heavy packages, and here's what he had to say.
How much of those heavy packages, when you put Fred as sort of the extra tight end, how much does that help get some of those double team blocks?
Well, I think when you do stuff like that, right, you just add another element to the offense. So when you bring in a different personnel package, you're opening up to what could be, you know, a variety of different things, whether it's play action passes, runs, dropbacks. So when you do that, you can kind of put the defense in a different spot to where now you're saying, like, hey, you have to prepare for this. We're going to have something for you. So I think it definitely helps the offense as a whole, not just the run game, but it gives you a different dynamic. It's not something we've done, so it's kind of been a new thing for us going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a good mix up. It's a good just new look, and it's clearly working for him. So if teams are going to run blitz the Eagles all the time, if teams are going to play goal line defense against the Eagles in the middle of the field in terms of, like, trying to stop the run, well, the answer to that is to get heavy back. And when you have the receivers on the outside that can win one-on-one, you can leave more guys in protection. And I think it'll help the running game. So I really like it. I think it's a nice wrinkle by the coaching staff. I think it's going to be effective. I think it's something we're going to see a lot of this year. So I think it's a super smart idea, and I do think it's really going to help the offense. Now, the other thing that has helped the offense is Jalen Hurts going under center. And I still don't have an answer as to, like, why it took this long to get to it. I'm not even criticizing them for not doing it earlier. It just blows my mind that everybody loves it so much and talks about how awesome it is, and they didn't do it until week, 7 or 6 or whatever it was. So Kevin Petullo was asked about Jalen going under center, and here's what he had to say.
Has Jalen developed as a quarterback who throws from under center off play action?
I think really just his willingness to work. Like, the guy works at everything extremely hard, right? And the reps that he'll take, and he asks good questions and seeking, like, hey, what else can we do? Can I do more? What, and so I think that's the biggest thing. Like, he wants to do new things. He wants to get better and challenge himself and do new things to add to the offense, because it just makes him more dangerous. I think he's proven that the last couple weeks with this kind of new thing that we've been messing with, where he can do it from a different capacity, and that's been really huge for our offense.
So I like the willingness to work part of that, and it's true. Like, I see some people say, like, everyone said Jalen didn't want to go under center, and I still believe that, and I still think Jalen isn't as comfortable under center as he is in shotgun, but both things can be true. Like, earlier in the year, we could say they're not doing a lot of under center stuff because Jalen doesn't want to do it, and that's what they build offense around, and then it can also be a credit to Jalen that he's clearly, like you said, willing to work on it and willing to get better at it, and that it's been able to really to help the offense. So I do think giving them different looks, switching it up, like, I think now that they're later in the season, they're healthier on the offensive line, at least with Landon out there more. They're having more reps together. Like, it seems like they feel more comfortable just calling more intricate things now that the players are executing at a higher level. And I think getting under center is part of that. Now, the other cool thing that has happened for this team, seemingly out of nowhere, is Tank Bigsby becoming like a real weapon. And I said on the pod with James and BLG, I don't think it's going to be like a two-headed monster, but I do think Tank's going to play, and Tank looks awesome. So in a year where we thought Saquon might take a step back, and he clearly has, like, I know he just had a big game, but obviously they've not gotten the production out of Saquon that they thought. Taking touches away from Saquon to a young, fresh running back that clearly has special qualities. Like, Will Shipley is a nice player. I don't think he has explosiveness that Tank has. And Kevin Petullo talked about Tank Bigsby and seeing that explosiveness up in person. And here's what Petullo had to say.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring training camp. Were you as aware that he was as powerful as he appears to be?
You know, in the short time we've had him, his explosiveness is evident. Like, you can see it in practice, whether it's drills, team periods, whatever he was doing. So you knew he had it. You know, we had watched tape on him before, so you could definitely see it. To see it in person was obviously a little bit different, but it was exciting. You know, it just adds another element to our offense, another dynamic player that Saquon needs to blow, and he gets tired for a second, we can go back out there with Tank and keep it rolling.
Yeah, things change quickly in the NFL, right? Tank goes from the punchline of a joke to how this year hasn't gone well. Like, this, and they traded a 5 and a 6 for Tank to, oh my God, Tank's going to be part of the offense. A 5 and 6 for a guy that's going to play on offense and help carry the ball in a Super Bowl contending team. Like, what a steal, right? So I love it. I love how fast things change. It certainly makes it exciting. But I do think Tank's going to be involved. And I think people should be excited about that. Like, I know on the surface, taking touches away from Saquon sounds crazy, but if it keeps Saquon fresh, if it lessens his load that he has to carry, and Tank like runs physical, runs fast, takes advantage of holes when they're there, I'm in on Tank Bigsby. I'm excited to see what he can do, with this offense. So the final thing I wanted to talk about with what Petullo had to say was the correction process. And I talked about it on this pod, like how the bye week is a weapon for the Eagles, that they're so good at adjustments during that bye week that I think they'll come out and be a better team on the other side of the bye. And part of that is the coaching staff, obviously, and what they're able to do working with the players. So I asked Petullo, like, what do you think makes their correction process so work and what works so well? And what's the key to getting those in-season changes to work? So here's Petullo. Didn't really answer the second part, but here's Petullo talking about the correction process.
You and Nick have been good over the years at making big in-season adjustments. Mm-hmm. In your experience, what's like the key as a coach to finding a problem, but then when it's practice week, you know, all the time, to like implementing that type of change in?
So I think it started yesterday, right? And even that mini bye, Nick does an unbelievable job of having this very detailed process that we go through as coaches. And so what it does is it basically allows you to go through from every phase of what we do, what we're getting, and where we need to go. And it's basically a process to where, yes, we're good in an area. How do we get better? Or what's going on? Why are we good? What's the next step to being, you know, continuously evolving in this area? So I think it starts with the process that we've had in place for a while. And it takes a while to kind of work through that. Like, we're in the process of it right now. We're on a quick lunch break, and as soon as I go back up there, we're ripping back at it. And so I think that process of just going through everything, every phase, the plays, the combination of how these plays are kind of working together, the packages, the situations, and truly being honest. Like, you can't get better unless you're honest, right? So we can say all we want, yeah, that play worked fine, but was there a breakdown? Could we be better at it? And so what's the next step for that play? And so I think that's where it really starts, and we've done a good job of that. And then simplifying it so that when the players come back and we come back, we know, like, hey, this is what we want to do from this standpoint going forward, and slowly kind of getting in each game plan, because you can't do it all at once. Can't fix it all at once. If you do too much, then you kind of become all over the place. So I think it starts with Nick and kind of what we've done over the years, and we've kind of had a good recipe for how to look at what we're doing on both sides of the ball.
I know that sounds like a lot of coach speak. I know that sounds like a lot of just like saying what he's supposed to say, but if you really listen to that, like, it is super impressive. We have seen the team have troubles in the beginning of years. Like, they certainly win, but like, we don't play their best football, right? And as the season goes on and the Eagles see the challenges that they're being presented and they see what this team is starting to become and they see who's playing well and who's not, they're consistently able to take all that new information in the first month of the season and then do the correct things with it where they start to get going. So look, the coaching staff has been a hot topic this year. People have, you know, been mad at Petullo, defended Petullo, been mad at Nick, defended Nick. Bottom line is they once again, in the middle of the season, have the arrow pointing up on the team as opposed to pointing down. And that's been the case in 21, 22, 24, and now 25. So 4 out of the 5 years, really only 23, they weren't able to get that thing going. So I think it's really impressive from the coaching staff what they have been able to do. So that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Going to be a fun bye week. And man, that Packers game is going to be an exciting one. So go out, enjoy your day. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.